witness of Jesus Christ as our mediator, Christ the mediator. A statement has been made about, is Christ the only way? And that's an important question, though. But if we ask ourselves, what is the mediator? And you look at party A and party B, and there's a dispute between the two parties, we need a mediator, an umpire, a go-between. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. But now we're going to look at a scripture that at times people would say, is your religion the only religion? And that's a topic of discussion that we've encountered throughout history. But when we look at the scripture, we analyze, we can't go by what the world standards are. We've got to go by biblical standards. And in going by biblical standards, we need to ask ourselves the question, is the Bible the only word, true word of God? Is there nothing else but the Bible? Is the Bible solely the most inspired book for the ages? And those are questions we need to ask. Is the Bible the only true book, or are there various other true books? If we come to the conclusion that the Bible is the only inspired true book, inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, then we've got to comply by what the Bible says. And if the Bible says something, we've got to comprehend it, we've got to live it out, even if we disagree with what the Bible says. And here's a scripture. Can we disagree with the scripture? Can we ask ourselves, is the scripture true? If it's half true, well, let's look at it and we make our decision. 1 Timothy 2:5. Read it with me. For there is what? Okay, pause. You think that's true? No, you're speaking from a Christian perspective now. From a non-Christian perspective. Is there only one God? You see, we were raised in a society of one God. There's a God. It doesn't matter. Even the heathen at times pray to God. They may never recognize God, but when they're in trouble, what do they say? God help me. But I thought you don't believe in God. But they cry out to God. All right? Notice it. So let's do it again. For there is only? And? One mediator. What's a mediator? Go between? Umpire? Middleman. Who can do what? What can this mediator do? Why must he reconcile?
We can't do it ourselves.
Yeah, we can't do it ourselves. But what reconciliation needs to be made? Why is there a problem? For we all sinned. Okay, now we're understanding the scripture. Let's read it again. Who can reconcile God and humanity? Who's the person that can reconcile? What do you notice in that scripture over there? Several points I want you to notice. Firstly, there's one God. Well, I don't believe it. It doesn't really matter. There's one God. So, exclusive. He projects himself as the only true God. If there is only one God, that means everything else is idols. Because there's only one God. And one mediator, a go-between, a middleman, an umpire. And this mediator is the only one that can reconcile fallen man. And you see, guys, our problem does not start today. It started way back with Adam and Eve. And before Adam and Eve was born, God had a plan already when they would fall. And then we find some scriptures that's going to help us out with this. And this mediator who can reconcile, bring the fallen party back to God, who can reconcile God and humanity. Who's going to do this? The middleman. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, what do you find so different here? You speak about one God. You speak about a mediator that's going to reconcile the two, and then you find a man called Christ Jesus. But notice it does not say Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus. And we're going to get to that in a minute. So now we ask ourselves the other question. Is the man God? How can the man be God and God be man? How's that possible? Can you be God? But you're a man. Why can't you be God? Oops. Look at another translation. There is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humans. A human Christ Jesus. Only when our Lord is called by the name Christ, or when our Lord is called Christ Jesus, it emphasizes his deity. It emphasizes his godness. You'll find when it refers to his humanness, it's switched around. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he is Christ Jesus, revealing to you and me that he is God, and all the things he does is as God. So we have the God-man or man-God. Firstly, what does a mediator mean? We've went through that just briefly. We know that it's somebody who intervenes between two people. Two parties is a better word. Who are in dispute. And the aim is to reconcile these two parties. The one party is consistent and the other one is inconsistent. The one party is forever the same. The other one changes all the time. But we find that the one had moved away from God because of sin. Justice has to be served. And God cannot accommodate sin, and man is a sinner. Now we ask again, are all people sinners? And if all peoples are sinners, can we differentiate between a good sinner and a bad sinner? Sin is sin. So a person that murders is on the same level as a person that steals 20 bucks? So we're all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God according to the Bible. And how can a sinner be reconciled to a righteous, just, holy God? How can he be reconciled? The Bible says only through a mediator. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. Job alluded to this in Job 9:33. And this is what he says. If only there were a mediator between us, someone who can bring us together. So he alluded to a mediation. And he says, I wish there was just somebody that can bring these two parties together. And then we understand that it's almost a prophetic thing that happened over here. Because at the right time, the mediator was brought to light so that you and I can appreciate the love of God. So we find we have a mediator, and the mediator is to bring two parties together. Secondly, we need to ask, why must this mediator be human? Why can't you and I step up? You know what? I can see the problem in the world today. I'm just going to become a mediator for the world's problems today. So today, I'm no longer pastor of Crossway. I'm going to become the mediator of the world. You just missed an opportunity to say, good luck. I don't have the authority. Says who? Why human? We saw that in the first scripture we read. He has to represent the human race that is at odds with God. The human failed. God didn't fail. Somebody that is spotless, somebody that is pure, somebody that is sinless needs to represent God. the fallen race, human race, to God. And that's exactly why he had to be human, to represent the human race in his redemptive work. So what do we find? Divinity and humanity, the humanity of the human race. But notice the scripture in John 1:1, and we're going to see divinity in humanity. That's the word, humanity perspective. Look at this. In the beginning, the word already existed. I highlighted the word three times. So you and I am in full agreement this morning that the word refers to who? To God, to Jesus. Okay? In the beginning, the word already existed. How long has he been in existence for? Bible says he's got no beginning. He has no end. So the word already existed. The word that already existed was with God. And now we find there's an article in one of the newspapers I read day before yesterday. How many gods do the Christians have? They've got three gods, the article says. The word was with God, but notice, and the word was God. So we know the Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Are there three gods or three beings that are God? There are three beings that are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In total unity, there's just no ways they can be separated in disagreements. And they all, if you want to, pre-existent. So we discover the divinity. And then, of course, we go to John 1, verse 4. The word, which we saw in verse 1, what did the word do? He gave life. He's pre-existent. And this word gave life to what? To everything that was created. So then we ask, who created everything? God. Within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we notice all things were made by him, for him, through him, for his own pleasure. So the word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So if his life brought light to everyone, which you would agree with, we must have been in darkness. And there was darkness hovered over the face of the earth until God brought light in the natural sense. And now in the human sense, his life brought light to everyone. And so we are very appreciative of that. And as we notice how we go from in the beginning, John 1:1 was the word was with God, the word was God. And how we go to verse 4, the word gave life to everything. And now we find a beautiful scripture in John 1 verse 14. And the word, what happened to the word? He became human. Are you serious? Can you try and explain how that happens? And the word that was with God, that is God, created all things, and this word became human and made his home. The Bible says, and tabernacled amongst us. It's a temporary word. He didn't reside permanently. He tabernacled with us. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle moved. So now we find he tabernacled with us, which was a short period of time, 33 and a half years. He tabernacled among us. But there was a reason for him coming. Because he had to become the what? Starts with the M. The mediator between humanity and God. This becomes so far-fetched that we say, God, I'd go so back. I don't know how I can comprehend this. But when you start looking at the scriptures and you see what God has done for us, we appreciate being called a child of the living God. It's something marvelous and something beautiful to behold. Looking at the human side of him, so the Word became human and made his home among us. Why? To be a mediator. But it goes further than that. And I want us to look at 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19. There's two different translations we're going to look at. 1 Peter, I think we got it on there. Have you got the New Living one? I think there's one New Living before that. For you know that God paid a ransom, paid a price. What was the price for? Now, remember how we started out the session. We either got to believe the entirety of the Word of God, partial Word of God, or nothing in the Word of God. So if we believe the Word of God in its entirety, we're going to get an appreciation of what is being revealed to us. For you know that God paid. The question that I've asked way back, and you may have heard it a few times, who was the ransom paid to? If God paid a ransom, who was that ransom paid to? The ransom is demanded by the laws of God. It wasn't paid to the devil. God owes the devil nothing. This ransom was paid because it was demanded by the righteousness of God. Amen. And the only way this thing could be paid is by someone that is spotless, that is sinless, and that someone is the Word. And now we find, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited. So death is inherited. Sin is inherited. Going back to Adam and Eve. That's where the mess started. We inherited all this, and we can say, but I had nothing to do with that. Absolutely correct. But we inherited it. To save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid. Now notice how it explains it to us. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. What was it? It was the precious blood of Christ. How long ago was it Easter? Easter's out of our mind already. By the way, let's pray for Israel. Tomorrow, sunset, their Passover starts. And normally in the past, we've seen, according to the history, oftentimes when there is an important part of their lifestyle which they commemorate or celebrate, there's attacks from other countries. So tomorrow is a big deal for Israel. Tomorrow afternoon, when the sun begins to set, Passover starts in Israel. It was the precious blood of Christ. Notice again, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. If we use the word Lamb of God, can we say it is the same as in John 1:1? Word? Yeah. The spotless Lamb of God is the Word, is Jesus Christ. So look at the next one in the Message translation. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Let's pause for a moment. Do you find this kind of terminology offensive? Think about it. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. How would you feel if somebody tells you your life is just an empty-headed life? Your life is just a dead-end life. That seems offensive, but it's not. You notice he's taking us from darkness into light. And he says, it cost God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. You know, he died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. Now, to just show us that we as humans have very little knowledge of God and what he thinks, we're going to see God expounding and also revealing to us his great love and the depths to which he would go for the human race. Why in the world is God interested in the human race? Why? We were created in his likeness and his image. But we live our lives so separated at times from God. We see what's happening within society. Within society, the statistics have shown and proven in this day and age, less people are following God or acknowledging God than virtually ever before. There's a major decline in following God, believing in God, and trusting in God. And when we go through the book of Revelation, as we've been discussing some of the stuff on Wednesday nights, the more intense the wrath of God becomes, the greater the hatred of the people become toward God. The easiest thing in life would be to call out to God for mercy. But we have the typical example of the two thieves on the cross. One was against God, and one said, consider me, remember me. So we have that same antagonism today. There are some that want to disprove God. There are others that say, have mercy on us. But unfortunately, the majority of the people are going against God. So we have an opportunity as the light of the world to share the goodness and the love of God with the people. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Living translation. God chose him. Who? Jesus. Within the Godhead there's unity. Within the Godhead there's an agreement. Within the Godhead there are different functions. And now we find God, Jesus, becomes man. But it's chosen within the Godhead, and God chose him as your ransom. In other words, he's got to pay this price. Here's the thing that really gets to me at times, is when did God choose this to happen? God seems to have long-term goals. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Wow. So, now we can get into some good discussions, but we're not going to pursue that in the sense of today. If God knew that we were going to fail, why did he create us in the first place? But notice, ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him. And that's the important word. And he now revealed him in the last days. Notice the wording, the last days. So the last days started with Christ. You with me? The last days started with Christ. He revealed him to you in these last days. If that was the last days almost 2,000 years ago, how close are we to the last days? But understand this. He revealed him to you. to me. How did he reveal him? What do you think? Come on. When he came to earth. The Bible says, Galatians 4:4, it's not on the screen, Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born from a woman, born under law. Notice this though. But he has now revealed him. Through Christ you have come to trust in God. Very important. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. So what happens here now? Now there can be reconciliation. There's a mediator between humanity and divinity. Look at the Message translation. And this was no afterthought. Even though it has only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge. So if it wasn't public knowledge, was it heavenly knowledge? But it became public knowledge. God always knew he was going to do this for you. He always knew what? He's going to save us. He's going to save those that put their faith and their trust in him. God knew he was going to do this for you. So, it is difficult for me, and most probably for you, to understand why people will hate God so much if he's the only one that loves people so much. Don't you find that amazing? God is the only one that shares his love. God is the only one that reveals his love. God is the only one that had to pay a price so that people can be reconciled to him. Now, we are fully aware of the fact there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There are only two kingdoms. We were born into the kingdom of darkness. But the only way to get out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light is through a mediator. Now, is it possible that there are other religions that can take us on this course? No, no, not according to the Bible. And now we get back to the point. Do I believe the entirety of the Bible, or do I believe only parts of the Bible? We've got to believe the entirety of the Bible. He knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of the sacrificed Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God. If there's no resurrection, there's no truth in Christianity. That you know you have a future in God. Look at John 19:30. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." You're very familiar with the seven sayings on the cross. And now we get to this one. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." What is finished? The ransom? The blood that was shed, sacrificed? It is finished. In other words, this part of the work is complete. There's only one thing that remains now. The resurrection. So did he rise? Yes. So now the work is complete. And now we find, although this work is complete, there's still something we're looking forward to. And that's seeing Jesus Christ face to face one day. So he says, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished. The job," if you want to, in my own words, "assigned to me, I have completed it. The sacrifice I needed to make, I've made." And then the Bible says, he bowed his head. And guys, this to me is so phenomenal. Jesus determined his birth. Jesus determined his resurrection. And that's what he says. Then he bowed his head and said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." So then who killed Jesus? Nobody. Oh, they did crucify him, but he chose the exact time that he was going to die. The exact time. 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the sacrificial lamb. When the sacrificial lamb was being sacrificed at the temple, the second lamb, the one is 9 o'clock in the morning, the second lamb is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, it's finished. I've paid the price. He bowed his head and released his spirit. In other words, Jesus fulfilled the demands of the law, God's law. He made or became the sacrifice on behalf of the human race. The human being now has the possibility of what? Being brought into right standing with the holy God through the work of Christ. Look at that again. We spoke about divinity, humanity. Through the mediator, through the ransom that was paid, whoever believes in Christ and follows Christ becomes reconciled to God the Father. And that's why the human being now has the possibility of being brought into right standing with who? The Holy God from which he was separated. Remember, we've discussed this way back in one of our Bible studies. When Adam and Eve sinned, we ought to be very grateful that they were thrown out of the garden. Out of the Garden of Eden. They have violated the word of God. They've sinned against God. And God forcefully got them out of the garden and put angels there to protect them from coming back into the garden. Because if they ate from the tree of life, they would have been forever lost. But God prevented that. So oftentimes God allows things to happen to us. And we think God is cruel. God is hard. God doesn't understand. But yet, God is a loving God. And he cares about our well-being. So that we can have a right standing with a holy God through the work of Christ. I want us to look at Psalm 85 verse 10. And after this, I want to just to meditate, to praise God, to worship him. I want to pray with folks this morning. So I've condensed this a little bit just to have time to pray with folks. Look at this, Psalm 85 verse 10. Mercy and truth have met. Mercy and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. How? How? Through the mediator. We find mercy and truth was revealed. Righteousness and peace have kissed. So all of a sudden, we discover those that are away from God can become one with God through the mediator. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? All, that's what the Bible says. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because God provided. God sent forth his son. The mediator has come. The ransom has been paid. And all who call upon God now through Jesus Christ, because the Bible says there's only one way to God. And what is the way? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Is he making a statement that there is no other way to be reconciled to God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's ponder for a moment. We call ourselves Christians. And we are. We're born again. We're followers of God. But what was the price to get us to this position? A sacrifice. A bloody sacrifice. Blood had to be sacrificed. God had to take upon himself the form of man. He had to become man, dwelt among us so that he could relate with us in every aspect of life. God, you don't know what I'm going through. Is that a fair statement? God, you got no clue what I'm going through. You don't understand. Really? Really? Do we have a clue what he went through? Oh, yeah, I know he was beaten. Yeah? To what extent? Couldn't recognize him. We did that at our Bible studies. We did it in some of our sermons. He was beaten to a pulp. He was beaten that you would not recognize him as a human being. Did he know that was going to happen? Did he know that he was going to be given up for 30 pieces of silver? Did he know that he was going to be beaten to the point that he would not be recognized? So why did he do it? Why did he do it? How many of us would do that with that knowledge? Not me. Not me. And so, my brothers and sisters, we take our salvation so lightly at times that we don't comprehend the depth to which God went, the sacrifices made, so that you and I can be reconciled to him and be called children of the living God. And not only just being called children of, but what an inheritance. What an inheritance. Whatever belongs to him is mine. I can't see the fulfillment of that now because I'm in this natural body, but I do know that the Bible says I'm heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and we know what heirship means. I tell you what, knowing that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and it pertains more so to the future, may I ask this morning, then what does the future look like for you and me? Darn good. Darn good. Because whatever belongs to him, I'm inheriting. I'm with him. I rule and reign with him. So I look at my present. The present, the Bible says, cannot be compared to that which lies ahead. So I look at the present, though, and I understand the difficulties. I understand the challenges. But I also recognize that the present is only a little while. And we're going to have our ups and we're going to have our downs. We're going to go good. We're not going to go so good. We're going to have heartache. We're going to have sorrow. But we're going to have joy. But there's a season. And after this season, when we have our glorified bodies, it changes. It changes. And once I see him face to face, and once I've got this glorified body that he's promised to me, I recognize then what a privilege it is to be called a child of the living God. Amen. But then let's conclude with this. That's the way we believe. Are we brainwashed in believing this stuff? Are we brainwashed that we don't comprehend outside of the box anymore? But is God really the only God? Is Jesus really the only way? I would say yes, and I haven't got the guts to find out. I'm going to believe it to be true. And if I believe it to be true, and I live my life according to that belief, and I die, and it's not true, I lived a good life. But if I don't believe it to be true, and I live my life in a contrary way to the Word of God, and I find out after I die that I was wrong. Oh, isn't there a song? It's too late now. Baby, it's too late now. Let us then appreciate what God has done for us. There's one God, one mediator. To be the middleman to bring these two parties, a righteous party and an unrighteous being, together. And that mediator is Jesus Christ, that on behalf of man paid the price so that we can be reconciled to the eternal God. Come, we pray together. I want us just